Well, hi, this is Joanne Ray with Senior Marketing Specialist, and this is A Human Connection. I've been so extraordinarily blessed over the course of my career to meet some fascinating and super successful people, and now I get to bring those conversations to you. So I hope you enjoy, I hope you listen, and I hope we can learn along the way together. I am extremely honored today to have as our guest someone that was first introduced to us via our friends at United Healthcare, but has just quickly become such a friend and one of our favorite visitors here at Senior Marketing Specialist in the McNerney Group. This is Sherry Teoli. Her official title is Sales Director, the National Brokerage Distribution, but we just call her our friend. So welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm honored. I am a big fan of the show and I watch many of the episodes. So when you asked me to be on, I was just so excited. So thank you.
Well, that makes me very happy. I'm glad somebody's listening. I always tell our guests that whether anybody actually listens in or not, the two of us, we're going to have a great next 30, 40 minutes. We're going to learn a lot. We're going to have a lot of fun. So if somebody else listens in, that's just gravy on top. But I appreciate you being a good listener. And I know you've always been a great supporter of what we're doing here, not just writing business for United Healthcare, but just everything that we do in running our business and taking care of our people. And you've just been such an advocate for us in all of those aspects. So happy to have you on this side of the show as well, on this side of our business.
Absolutely. I love working with you guys. You guys are doing some really great work.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for saying that. So for everybody that doesn't know you, let's start with the business side of it first, and then we'll get to the really good stuff. But let's start with the business background. Tell us a little bit about how you got started, where you got started, and how you ended up with this phenomenal job at United Healthcare.
Sure. So, let's see how I got into this business. So originally, out of college, so I went to college at Duquesne University here in Pittsburgh, and I started in biotech. So I started with a startup company in Pittsburgh called Precision Therapeutics, and I got a job as a sales and marketing associate. And I knew right away I wanted to do something in sales, and it was a startup. So I wore a bunch of different hats, got to do a lot of different things. I worked directly for the VP of sales and just helped him with whatever he needed and supported a lot of our sales reps. And I just kind of had this, you know, yearning to like get out in the field and like put me in coach, let me get in the field. And so, he gave me an opportunity to read. He said, would you be willing to relocate? And I said, sure. You know, I'm like in my early 20s. Sure, I'll go wherever. So I actually moved to Dallas and took an account management role. So like working under a rep. So I did that for a little while and I did quite well. And then a job opened up in the Pacific Northwest. So they said, would you relocate again? So I said, sure. So I moved to Seattle, Washington, and got my own territory as a rep. I sold a chemo response assay and I loved it. I loved living in Seattle. I loved working in the field. And so I did that for a while. And then I lost my job. Our company ran out of money. We all got laid off. And so I'm living in Seattle and without a job and looking for another job. And I was running out of money. And my parents said, come back to Pittsburgh. And so I said, okay, I'll move back to Pittsburgh, was looking for another sales job. And I applied for a job at Coventry, a sales rep job. And so I interviewed with Denise King and Bob O'Connor at Coventry for a sales rep job. And I met with Denise and she was promoting somebody within to the field rep job, but she said, hey, you know, I have this broker manager job that I think you would be really good at, you know, would you consider it? You know, would you consider getting, you know, a health insurance license? You know, what do you think? And I'm like, sure. You know, I don't know anything about this industry. I don't know anything about Medicare, but you know, why not? So I took the job and went to a class, like a 3-day intensive class to get my license, and that's how I kind of ended up in this industry. And I did that for a couple years, and then we were acquired by Aetna. Loved it. I learned so much from Denise and that team. They were fantastic. And then I moved to Philadelphia. Actually, I was recruited to a company out in Philly. It was Health Partners Plans. It was a Medicaid and CHIP company, and they were looking to get back into the Medicare Advantage space. They had been in the space years ago. They sold their book of business to Bravo, wanted to re-enter the space. Medicare Advantage was where it was at. So I went out there to, as a director's position, to re-enter the MA space for them, help them build distribution, and did that. And that was a great job. It was very challenging, but I learned a ton. So I moved to Philly and did that for a couple years. And then my daughter was really little at the time. So Olivia was 2, we moved out there. And then she was getting older and getting ready to enter school. And we were getting a little homesick, and I wanted to be back in Pittsburgh. So I started looking again, and United came knocking, and an opportunity at United opened up and brought me back to Pittsburgh. So that's how I ended up at United. Yeah. So and came back to Pittsburgh.
But what year was that, Sherry? You started at United.
So I joined United in 2016. So I joined United, and I worked in the local market initially. So I was unsure about, I didn't know what to do, right? So I was at Health Partners, and I had a lot of responsibility and was really proud of the work I did there, and managed a couple different teams, and we built distribution, and we had a lot of success there. And then I kind of felt like I was taking a little bit of a step back and was taking, back into kind of a broker manager role. But I think sometimes, we're faced with these big decisions, and sometimes you kind of have to take a step back to take a step forward in your career. And so I think it was just the right time for me to do that, to get back to Pittsburgh. It was the right time, with my family personally. And so I did that. And I think it was the best decision I made at the time for me. Got back to Pittsburgh. I was able to work with all those brokers and agencies that I had worked with when I was with Coventry at the time. So I just kind of fit right back in. I mean, it was awesome. They just welcomed me with open arms. I was able to just plug right back in and work with those agencies. And then I did that for 3.5-4 years. And then the opportunity on the national team opened up. And then I joined the national team in 2020. Yay. And then I got to start working with all of you. So, that's what I'm doing today.
Awesome. Awesome. So is there such a thing as a slow time in your job, or this is kind of maybe one of those in between times, or no?
I think we like to say that there is, but there really isn't. it doesn't seem like we slow down much. Yeah.
So walk us through kind of the differences, if you can, of working in a, let's call it a local, although a large, but a local market where, you're driving to all of your accounts or driving to all your agents and agencies offices, to then the national, where you have to get on a plane to go see all of your clients. Did it feel different? Did it look different? Is it just a kind of same thing, but different city? Walk us through what that kind of shift was for you, of going from a local market to the big national market.
Yeah, it's funny. So when I first started on the national team, it was 2020. And so we were in the middle of the pandemic.
Great time.
So when I had interviewed, Rachel was very clear about the what this job was going to be. And so I was very much prepared for the travel and, what that was going to be like. And then we sat at home for a year. And, so I was really excited and really ready to get out on the road. And I think, and then we didn't get out on the road. We didn't go anywhere. But, and it was a little challenging too, because a big part of this business is relationships and building relationships and building rapport with all of my accounts. And it's very different being in person with people than it is even, video conferencing really took an uptick during that time. which helped. But I think sitting down across the table with somebody and having a real conversation and getting to know them and building that relationship goes a long way. So that first year was really a challenge because I didn't get to see everybody and meet them. But once I did, once we got back, I think actually you guys were my very, very first visit out.
Yay!
You really were. You were my first visit out on the road.
Hopefully we didn't scar you.
Yeah. No, it was wonderful. It was great. Yeah, you guys were my very first visit out on the road. But so yeah, it was quite a transition, you know, from just hopping in the car and driving around locally to getting on an airplane and having to fly across the country. And then trying to, the mom in me kicks in, right? So not only am I trying to prepare myself to do my work while I'm on the road, but then I'm making sure everybody's okay, right? Like, where's everybody going to be this week? Here's the meals for the week, you know, here's the schedules for the week, and just trying to coordinate home and away. You know, I had to adjust to that.
So that's the magical, we're going to get into that a little bit or a lot here in a little bit, but that magical work-life balance that all of us, men, women, moms, dads, professionals, stay-at-homes, I mean, we all try to figure out what is this work-life balance. And so we're going to get into that here in a little bit, but I'm so curious, you're so good, Sherry, at walking into a room, sitting down and feeling like, whether we've known each other for the first time meeting or years, you walk in, you're professional, but yet you bring Sherry. Where does that just come from? That's innately your personality. Are there things that you think of about in your upbringing or your background that, how do you prepare? First of all, that's, I always want to know how people prepare to walk into a meeting of whether it's like us. I don't think you need to even prepare anymore. We just sit down like with family. But yeah. I know there's a lot of preparation that has to go into that. How do you prepare and how do you make that feel so natural? Because we do have other visitors that come in and it doesn't always feel that way. So what's the secret sauce there for you, Sherry?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's two parts to it. I think there's the business part. So there's definitely preparation that I do depending on what the goal of the meeting. Why am I coming to see you? What job do we have to do? What are we there to meet about? What data do we need to look at? What are the goals that we need to meet upcoming? What strategies are we working on? What initiatives do we need to discuss? So I gather all of that stuff. I try to be clear on the objective of the meeting, set the agenda ahead of time. You know, I think communication is really big, like making sure we're very clear on the objective and all of that, right? So I think that's one part of it. I think the other part is, I think some of it has to do with my personality. I think, you know, my mom used to always say when I was little, she was so scared that I was going to get kidnapped because I would talk to anybody, like anybody. You know, she was always wanting to know where I was because I would just talk to any stranger, you know? So I think I can connect with people pretty easily and pretty quickly, but I just like getting to know people. You know, I think I'm just genuinely interested in just what is that thing about you that is interesting? I don't know. I think I can connect with people pretty quickly and it comes from a genuine place. And right.
I think that's key. Anybody could read a book, study something about how to go in and have personality, charisma, make friends in a business setting. But unless you kind of got that thing, that personality, like you said, and that it's genuine, I think that's probably the most important word out of what you just said. It has to be genuine. When you love what we do, which we both do, it's fun.
It is fun.
You know, we love seeing, you know, new faces come in, whether it's new employees that are just getting started here, new carriers that we're just starting a relationship with, or a new partner that's just starting to work with us, or an agency. If that's not fun, if that's just a bunch of lines on a spreadsheet, I don't know how long you'd last in this business, because you have to bring some of that genuine joy, right? It has to be fun to see that and to be connect with those people.
Yeah, you have to love it. You know, I mean, with the amount of time that I spend on the road and away from my family and from my daughter, if I didn't like it and I didn't really have an interest in the people that I'm with away from home, I wouldn't be able to do it, right? Like, I think that I have to find some joy and some connectivity with the people that I'm going to be doing business with and that I'm going to be with, or I would need to find something else to do. You know, I think that's a big part of it. And
I did a interview once with, this was on an Integrity podcast. And the question to me was, you know, that work-life balance, how did you, you know, be a mom while managing a company? And the same old questions we all face each day. And I knew the interview was coming up. So I thought a couple of days before the interview, I'll just ask my kids. They're grown now. You know, how did I do? What did you think about mom, you know, traveling or, you know, going to work each day? And so anyway, I had three kids, all adults now. They all gave me three, you know, silly answers to start with. But at the end, they all said basically the same thing. And I asked them separately, is you always seem to have fun and love what you were doing, mom. So we thought that was good, you know? And so I kind of use that as a metric when I now mentor these young moms, these young women and moms and dads in our company or in our industry or anywhere, that, you know, this work-life balance, how do you have it all? I don't know how you have it all. You have this moment, you know, make the best of this moment. I'm going to be a great mom right now, but work may suffer. I'm going to kill it at work tomorrow, but that means probably something's going to fall at home, but that's okay. So we're going to balance it out over time. But that's always my big advice. If you love what you do, make sure your kids know that. I get to go to this meeting, or I get to go meet these people today, or I get to go present to a group of people. You know, they would always roll their eyes, you know, when I said, I got to go do this, this, and this. But in the back of their mind, you know, now as adults, they tell me they saw that that was fun for me. And so that work wasn't this bad, terrible place that mom goes when she leaves us. It's, she's really having fun. She's enjoying what she's doing. We get to go to nice places because of that job. And so I think it was, that's always my best advice to everybody. If you love what you do, one, I hope everybody is as blessed as you and I are to find something that you do love doing. And make sure that your family knows that. Make sure everybody around you knows that, that work is not a four-letter word.
Yeah. It's funny. I'll share a little story that, my daughter, so last year, so we have the mom guilt or the parent guilt sometimes, you know, with long, you know, weeks on the, you know, long days on the road or if I'm away, or if I have to miss a softball game or something, you know, I feel super guilty about that. Or, you know, but I think to your point, it balances out, right? You know, and I think I was going through a period of time last year where I was traveling a lot and I felt super guilty about that. And, you know, I was letting Olivia down and then it was superhero day at school, and it was like dress like your favorite superhero at school. And Olivia, she dressed up like me. And oh my God, Joanne, I bawled, right? And so I was like, okay, I must be doing something okay, right? And I was in awe and I couldn't believe it. And like all of my self-doubt and second guessing and just, am I doing okay? Am I failing as a mom? Am I doing too much? You know, like it's just all the doubt, right? Everybody experiences this. And like in that moment, and she got red, she dyed her hair, she sprayed her hair red, and she got this, and it was so funny. I have a picture and I'll share it with you at some time.
Please do.
Like dressed up like me. And I'm like, is that what you think I look like when I'm home? And I wear like just like black leggings and a cardigan and a t-shirt. And she wrote like best mom ever on it. And I like melted my heart. And I just was like, okay, must be doing okay, you know. And that was just like the most, you know, like reassuring moment. And I have a really good close friend and a mentor of mine who told me one time, you know, parenting is not defined by one moment. Like, it's defined by a million moments, all strung together. And like that, for sure, last year was like, I remember talking to Brittany about it, because I was like in tears when like this day came, and I was like, okay, I'm not horrible. I'm not doing a bad, I'm not failing completely, right?
Okay. So did you know, when did you find out that she was going?
It was like the night before. And she was like, oh, tomorrow's like dress like your favorite superhero day at school. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, are you going to be like one of your favorite author? Like, what are you going to do? Like, cool. And she was like, no, mom, I'm going to dress like you. And I was like, ah, what?
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh God, you just.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I just wanted to see a picture. That's amazing. Isn't it?
It was like one. Yeah.
Yeah. Just when you start doubting yourself, you know, to have moments like that. That's not a little moment. That's a huge moment.
That was huge. Yeah. So like that will be, imprinted in me.
How old was she at the time?
11. So she just turned 12. So yeah, this was last year. She's in fifth grade. And yeah.
Oh my God. So now I have to know, what were some of the other kids? Like, what were their superheroes?
You know, gosh, I don't even know. I think I was so
who cares?
In awe and just flabbergasted that she chose me and was not even embarrassed by it. You know, because like, you know, she was almost getting ready for middle school, and, you know, that preteen, age is such a weird age. And I thought, what? Like, aren't you embarrassed by me? You know, like, now, you know, that's a cool mom.
Trophy right there. That is it. have reached the pinnacle of momhood.
I know.
Because when they're like 2 and 3, you know, they always think we're superheroes and
we're the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Then somewhere it starts slipping, and usually an 11-year-old maybe isn't going to do that.
I know, she's growing up so fast. This morning I dropped her off at the bus, and I said, okay, I'm doing my, she knew I was recording this with you today, and she said, okay, mom, don't mumble, speak clearly, giving me advice, good. Right?
You're getting good advice from her. That's awesome. We always like to talk about, or I like to talk about, because we're more than just what our business card says, right? That's one small piece of who we are, that whole picture of Sherry from, and I even asked you, you know, how would you want me to introduce you? Mom was the first title. It's our first title. It's our last title. It's our most important title. So I loved that you went right there. Travel is tough. You guys certainly have much more travel than I do. And, we always talk about it takes a village. And I do absolutely believe that. It's, again, another thing I tell all the young moms here, that you and spouse, partner, that's wonderful if you have a good one, but that's still not enough. You know, you've got to have grandparents, neighbors, friends, parents of friends. Phenomenal husband, but we were both working and he was in retail. Mm-hmm. So it was opposite hours sometimes as me. And once the kids started getting in school and sports and activities and after school stuff, my gosh, we relied on other moms and dads. And I, when I could be there, I wanted to make sure that they could rely on me too. But you've kind of found that you've built your village definitely now being back at home.
100%. Yeah. I don't think I could have done this job when Livy was younger. Yeah. You know, like when I was a single mom, I couldn't, my mom is now retired. So gosh, my mom has been an incredible to me. And, you know, anything I need, she's there and she'll come and stay when I'm gone. And so she's huge. You know, my ex-husband's wonderful too. You know, we have a great relationship, a great co-parenting arrangement. So he helps when he can. My fiance is wonderful. I mean, it does, like you said, it takes a village. So it's not just one person, but they all are so supportive of what I do and when I have to be gone and on the road. And it's all hands on deck, right?
That's the other key there too. Just like I said earlier, that you've got to make sure that you're showing your child and all your family members that this is a joyous thing that I get to go do. If it's just the kid that you're telling that and the other adults around them are not feeling that, then that maybe isn't still helping your child. So that's even a bonus that you get that you're so lucky to have so many people around you that are supporting you and cheering you on. I always talk about the cheerleaders in our life. Sounds like your mom is definitely one of the cheerleaders that we all need.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's, you know, and like you said too, like we get to go to some interesting places and, you know, you always try to find ways to like show how much you appreciate those people in your life too. And, you know, if I could bring them along once in a while or just show, I mean, I don't even think I could show how much I appreciate all of those people. I mean, you could say it, right? But, you know, just little ways to show our appreciation because they mean so much, right? And like we wouldn't be able to do all the things that we can do.
Absolutely. So I have to comment. I see all the books and the backgrounds. I'm a big book aficionado as well. What's your source? And maybe it's not even books. What is your source that you go to, Sherry, that kind of fills you up because you have such a way of bringing joy to others and radiating positivity? Where does that come from? Where do you get that? Where do you get filled up so that you can go pour that into others?
Yeah, I think it varies. I go kind of in waves. So music is one. I love music. I love live music. Any chance I can get to go see live music, whether it's like a, you know, a well-known artist or a local singer, songwriter, local musician, I love that. And then I do, you know, I read books too. And sometimes I'll be in a, like, I want like a self-help, like leadership type of book, you know, zone. And then I'll just want to read like some mindless pleasure fluff, something that I can just, you know, get lost in and then, you know, not have to work real hard at it, you know.
My airplane books, that's what I call them. For some, I used to like, try to study or read motivational or business books on a plane. And then somewhere along the line, I don't know where, that's just my zone out time. So I just find the best, you know, book that's, like you said, it's light. It has to be interesting because it has to keep my attention for 2 hours.
I have a group of my girlfriends that I've been friends with since elementary school. We just started like a mini little book club. And so we're each pick. We try not to be too overambitious. We are like, we'll pick one book per quarter. We're like, we could do, and that's not very many, right? 4 books a year. I mean, that's not nothing, but so we each are picking one book. And you know, so we're fun books, right? So we're doing that, and then we'll probably get together and maybe talk about the book for 5 minutes, and then drink wine or, you know, laugh about other things. So that's fun. We'll do that. Yeah. So
you said something in there too that always piques my interest. Same group of girlfriends that you've had since elementary school. I love that. First of all, my husband has that. He's the best friend that you want because I always tell everybody it takes work to maintain friendships, especially when they're not across the street. Like none of the people that I grew up with live anywhere near me now, or even that I went to school or college with. So it takes work. So talk to me about those girlfriends and what do you guys do? Are they all there or do you have to travel? Okay.
We've all lived in different places. So when I lived away, you know, I lived in Dallas and Seattle and then Philly and bounced around. My friend Sarah, she lived in Florida for many years. Now she lives in South Carolina. And then 2 of the girlfriends live here in Pittsburgh. So we've all bounced around, but so we get together about twice a year. It's like around Christmas, like around the holidays. And then in the summertime, we try to get together. We just did a trip last year. We set out and said, we're going to do like a girlfriend's trip every year. Well, that was definitely overambitious because then when we started having children and families and that didn't. But we all turned 40 last year. So we said, we're going to do this. We're going to do a 40th trip. And so we did do that. But we have like a group chat, you know, so we stay connected through group chat. We try to get together twice a year. We're trying to do this little book club now. So, you know, different things to try to stay connected. But we've been friends for so long. We know so much about each other. It's, they're stuck with me, you know, like we're all stuck with each other, you know.
Can't let anybody fall out of the group. Everybody knows too much.
Right. Yeah. So it's nice. So I have that pocket of friends, and then I've met some incredible people, you know, over the course of my life so far. And, you know, I have that group of friends, and then I have some wonderful people that I've met through work and, you know, that have become colleagues that have turned into some best friends too. And I just, I need those. They fill me up. You know, I need those relationships in my life to keep me going.
Well, you just kind of summarized what this whole podcast has been about, and that's why we named it Human Connection, because we came up with this during COVID, because I felt like that's what people were missing, that yes, we can connect via Zoom here today and people are listening, but what we really want to get down to the nitty gritty of is, who are you connecting with? How are you connecting with others? What does that connection give you? What does it fuel for you, so that you can then go fuel so many others? So if you think about that, there's how many of you in your girlfriend group?
So my high school girl, like my young, like there's four of us that have stayed pretty tight. Yeah.
So think about that. And then you guys get together, you have that connection, you kind of reignite that fuel, if you will, inside of you. And then think about where the four of you each separately go. No matter what their careers or what they're doing in life, you're all kind of taking that back out, if you will, to the world, which is, you know, definitely the whole point of this. I think people overthink what those types of connections need to be like. Like, you have to go to a college course, or you have to pay somebody for this. No, sometimes it's just this, literally two of us connecting and learning and sharing. And if there's one person out there today that is listening, that heard one of your stories that fuels them, then think about what they're going to go do with that and how many people they're going to impact with that. So I hope that that's what this whole session does for, it does for you and I. I'm ready to go now. I'm fueled up.
For sure.
We don't have that our life, you know, I feel so badly for people who don't have that either in their work life, where we spend so much of our time in their home life, in their personal life in any way, shape, or form. So we're very, very blessed in what we get to do, who we get to go home to. You know, we talked a lot about that during COVID is, you know, for me, thank God my family was healthy. Thank God we were all together. You know, we have good internet, you know, all the things that so many people were struggling with during COVID, that for us, it wasn't a struggle. It was more of a, you know, a retreat almost, away from reality for a little bit. But we're very blessed in what we get to do, where we get to spend our time, and then who we get to go home to too. It's such a blessing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I think, you know, these connections just re-energize us, right? And we get to share lessons that we've learned and, you know, connect in that way. And I mean, in your team, like, I think I've connected with your team so immediately because we have so many similarities, right? Like, you have such a great leadership team that you're fostering there. And I love that, right? And I think, I just connected with that group right away. And, you know, I learned from them and I hope that they learn from me, and it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're all trying to figure out, you know, kind of what's next. We talk a lot about that here as far as the calendar, what's next, or our business plan, what's next. But really for all of us, we should be thinking kind of what's next. And so we've always tried to build our company on, if I'm going this way, I'm, you know, who's coming with me and who's right there, and then who's pushing somebody else up and lifting each other up. So you fit very well with our organization and our philosophy and how we kind of embrace what we're doing here in this Medicare world, which we haven't even said that word once today. That's what connected us initially, but that's so, you know, beside the point sometimes in our day-to-day life. We don't focus so much on that, but just you know, what are we doing with the people or our staff or agents, their clients? What are we doing in our community? That type of thing. The Medicare stuff that we sell, you know, pays the bills and gets us those connections and in the right spot. But it's really about, you know, what are we doing with each other and who are we bringing up as we go.
Yep.
Well, I have certainly enjoyed this. We could talk all day. I want to talk all day, but we'll schedule another session for sure. But appreciate you being on, Sherry, and sharing so much about your personal life, your day-to-day life. I certainly know that I definitely get refueled when talking to somebody like yourself, and the genuineness just comes pouring out of you. So appreciate you and all that you guys do for us.
Thank you, Joanne. Enjoyed it. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you. I'll see you, I think, in 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah, I'll be down. Absolutely.
Good. So I look forward to that. And
all right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day, guys. Thank you, Sherry.
Bye. Bye.